You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Can you greet the people around you for a while? Just greet them a good afternoon. Come on. How's the new year so far? Expectant? Are you guys in great faith for the year 2019? Come on now. That is what our new series is all about. We have this New Year series, which will start today, and this will run for the next 6 Sundays. So this is a 6-week series that will look into, you know, the different levels of faith of different Bible characters. So I hope you will not be, you know, absent in any of our services the next coming Sundays, because we will be doing some character studies. And we will start this by looking at the story of the Hebrew believers. And I'd like first to turn our Bibles for a while to Hebrews chapter 10. We will be reading from verses 32 up to verse 36. It says here, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an unabiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of all of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Okay, let's get this going. I hope this won't be a lengthy one, but let me see a show of hands for a while. Okay, let me see a show of hands. How many here have been a Christian for more than 3 decades now? You've been a Christian for more than 3 decades now. Come on now. 30 years up. You've been a Christian for more than 30 years. Anyone? All right, none. Okay lang. That only goes to say that we are all young, right? Now, who among you have been a Christian for at least 20 years now? You've been walking faithfully in the Lord for 20 years now. Come on now. Okay, we have one there. We have two at the back. We have another one. We have two. Okay, diba? Parang pusta lang, ano? Okay, so, all right. Anyone here who's been a Christian for at least 10 years now? 10 years now. Come on now. Proudly wave your hand. You've been walking with God for the last 10 years. Come on now. There they are. So the rest of us have been a Christian for, anyone who's been a Christian for at least 5 years now? For at least 5 years. Come on now. You've been a Christian for at least 5 years. All right. Sino naman po yung you consider yourself a baby Christian? You consider yourself a baby Christian. Come on now. Sige nga. Paki-inspect nga kung mukha bang baby. Mukha bang baby yan. Okay, you've been a Christian, let's say, for 3 years, 2 years, or a couple of months. I'm asking that because the context of what we will be talking about has something to do with that. In fact, the book of Hebrews, as we all know, is a letter written by an anonymous author for a group of Hebrew believers. But this was a letter that has an ingredient of encouragement, admonition, exhortation, correction, realigning, and redirection all wrapped in one letter. And that is what we're going to look at here as we start our Great Faith series. Let me just ask another question, and this time around, I want to see a show of hands talaga, okay? Who among you here have Facebook accounts? You have Facebook accounts. Come on now. All right, may Facebook dyan. Okay, I'm not asking so that you would add me. Just want to know. Okay, sino po yung active sa Facebook? Active sa Facebook? All right. Si Mark, okay? Si Mark po yung young guy na kabubukas lang ng Instagram account. Okay, paki-follow na lang po siya. I'm asking that because most likely you've encountered something like this. You open your Facebook early in the morning or first thing in the morning, and then you see this thing, you know, Facebook coins that memories. Facebook coins that memories. And I don't know with you, but sometimes when a photo pops up from 7 years ago, from 5 years ago, it puts a smile on your face. Is that right? Yung iba sa inyo, naiiyak kayo, naiinis kayo. Pero depende na yun kung anong pinost nyo, di ba? Yung iba sa inyo, nagki-cringe kayo sa pinost nyo 5 years ago. Bakit ko pinost yun? Nakakahiya. Okay, nakakahiya nga. Okay, yung mga rant mo 5 years ago, nakikita pa rin yan hanggang ngayon. Kasalanan mo yan. Okay, sige, mag-rant ka pa. Facebook shows you the memories from 5 years ago, from 2 years ago, from 3 years ago. I'm sharing all of these things, asking those two questions, because today, that is basically what we're going to be talking about. You know, the writer of Hebrew is asking his audience, the Hebrew believers, to recall a certain day. That is why it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, there was an admonition for them to recall. Okay, we're talking about a group of people who have become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do understand that we are not perfect. Is it right? Alam po natin na si Ronel at si Kevin lang ang perfect sa church na to. Tama po ba? Joke lang yun. Okay, so, but we understand that, you know, we make lapses, we make mistakes. You know, let me just remove those words, lapses and mistake. We commit sins. Is it right? Who am you are, you consider yourself a sinner. You are a Christian, yet you are a sinner. You know that you really are a sinner. Okay, yung mga hindi nagtaas ng kamay, yan po yung mga sinner talaga. So what is the context here? Okay, there's a context that we need to understand. There was something that was happening in the Hebrew believers. Meaning to say, as a Christian, we go through different seasons in life. It's not like the moment you become a Christian, things will fall right in place for you. Is that right? Okay, the moment you become a Christian, you know, you will go through seasons in life. There will be times of luck. There will be times wherein things are beautiful, things are happening so well. But there are also times in our lives wherein we are down, we are sad, we are lonely because of certain situations. Okay, as Christians, we are not removed from the pains of the world. We are not removed from that, but we are given hope as we experience the pains of this world. All right, so the context here is the Hebrew believers, for some reason, are going through a difficult situation in their life. Allow me to give you context. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 down to verse 14 tells us that, you know, the writer was telling them, about this we have much to say. Everyone say, much to say. Here's the thing. Okay, the writer was telling the Hebrew believers, there are so many things that I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The pursuit of Christ is unfathomable. It's like a deep reservoir that you're going to fall in love with Jesus all the more as you go deeper. So that is basically what he was saying. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain. But I want you to understand this. He's saying that it is hard to explain, not because the subject is difficult. This is not geometry. This is not biochemistry. This is not advanced accountancy. This is just what? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is actually not hard to explain based on the subject, but it is because the hearers have become dull of hearing. Meaning to say, what he was saying was, you folks have been a Christian for quite some time now. We know that you started out well, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, but for some strange reason lang po. For some strange reason, there's something wrong with the manner you hear. Because the Bible says, they have become dull of hearing. Meaning to say, their hearts were no longer tender before God's word. Let me just bring that down to our context right now. It could be something like this. It could be that they know what happens in church. He or she is so familiar with what's happening in church that he starts counting, I'll come in at 4:10. That's the first song, right after the 5-minute countdown. Then by 4:30, I know someone comes up and exhorts us with something. Everything has become so familiar that his hearing has become dull in terms of his spiritual hearing. Now, I hope and pray that this is not our situation. That we have become dull of hearing because of familiarity, or perhaps we have violated our own conscience because of our sins. Take note, the progression there says they have become. There's nothing wrong with the subject, but there was something wrong with the recipient of the news, the recipient of the information. I hope and pray that we will become a people who will treat the Word of God as it is, which is the Word of God. That at one point when someone preaches it to us, whether it's Archie or someone else, we will receive it for what it is, which is the Word of God. I hope and pray that we will not come into a point in our life wherein if we start attending Bible study groups, small groups, victory groups, pagka-younger sa yung tao, parang, mas magaling pa ako sa taong to. Parang may something wrong sa grammar ng pastor na yan. Minsan, mas conscious pa tayo sa grammar kesa kung anong message ng sinasabi ng preacher dito. They have become dull of hearing. Not just that one. Look at this. The reason why we have become dull of hearing is because we have refused to be a good recipient of God's word. They have become dull of hearing because they were no longer becoming or what alienating themselves from being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, I'd like to submit this question to you, friends. Not just the younger people here, but I hope and pray that we will consider ourselves a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ more than us being a disciple of Twitter, more than us being a disciple of Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is that is out there. That was not their only issue. The other issue here is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says here, they started what? Neglecting meeting together. First things first, I want to congratulate you for making it here in our 5 p.m. service. I hope and pray, friends, everyone, look up your farewell. I want to be clear with this one. I hope and pray that you have a conviction. When we're starting to talk about our Sunday worship services, this is something that is non-negotiable in your life. Because it says here, the moment they started neglecting meeting together, that is when things started spiraling down. You know why? Because out there, if you're not in church, out there you'll be what? Bombarded with so many things. A while ago, while we were singing, we were declaring songs that says, I will believe God once again, and it brings up your faith to a different level. Why? Because that is the confession of our faith. If you don't have songs in you, if you don't have God's word in you, preaching of the word from the pulpit right here towards you, then you will be discipled by the world. You'll be listening to Ariana Grande. Sasabihan ka na ako na, when all is said and done, I believe that at the end of the day, God is a woman. Then you start becoming confused because you don't have God's word stored in you in a church community setting. No one starts clarifying things to you because you have neglected meeting together. Another importance of coming to church together corporately is the confession of our faith. You know for a fact that you are a Christian, but the problem is you are a Christian who cannot even articulate the gospel. You cannot say that the gospel is the good news that God became man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life that I should have lived and died a death that I should have died in my place. 3 days later, he rose from the grave and proved that he is the Son of God and offering gift of salvation to those who believe. Ang alam lang natin, parang, we've talked about this. My life was a mess and I feel like there was a wrecking ball and he wrecked me. You know for a fact that something changed in you, but you cannot seem to articulate it. I tell you what, time will come, you will need to articulate the confessions that you have. And it happens in a corporate setting like this one. It happens in a victory group. May I submit this to everyone? Don't make these things negotiable. And allow that to be a personal conviction, not because the pastor says so. And that was the problem with them. What a message to start the year, right? If you would allow me to coin these two things, in one word, this was what was happening. This group of people, the Hebrew believers, were already backsliding. I like what Dr. Walter Martin said. He said, you know, the book of Hebrews was written by a Hebrew to other Hebrews, telling the Hebrews to stop acting like Hebrews. It was a warning, an exhortation, an encouragement all wrapped in one letter, telling them to stop doing what they're doing and start back to where they have started. So what was the remedy for that? This is what I love about this text in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Because the writer started telling them, this is the context, we have a problem. If you want to solve a problem, first things first, you have to acknowledge that there is a problem. They needed to acknowledge that there is a problem, and their problem was they have become dull of hearing. They have become so familiar with the Christian faith that things were not fresh on them anymore. And what I love about this was that he provided a remedy. And the remedy starts with this one right here. He says, okay, here's what we're going to do. You folks are backsliding the faith. You've been a Christian for quite some time now. I know how you started. I know how passionate and zealous you were for the Lord. But now I see your situation and it pains my heart because you are backsliding. Allow me to offer a remedy to that. And it says, you ought to recall. Now I tried looking at the King James Version of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. And the word recall there is the word bring to remembrance. And the word remembrance is coming from the Greek word anamnesko. Tell your seatmate forward para mukhang matalino ka. Anamnesko. Here's the beauty of this word. Look at this one. Here's the beauty of this word. It tells us to recall. You say that, okay, I need to recall the former days. I need to recall. But if you look at anamnesko, it says here that you have to what? Call to mind. You call it to mind. Meaning to say, friends, anamnesko is not to simply recall, but to call it to mind with conscious effort. It's not a random thing that you're walking along Perdices, you're on your computer, and suddenly you recall the things that has happened in the past, you recall the barbecue that you ate last Christmas. It wasn't something like that. It gives us a picture that anamnesko is like pulling out a chair and setting a time to sit down and start recalling the things that you have learned in the past. There's a conscious effort. It's like you're studying for an exam. You're seated on the examination table, and here you are. You're trying to recall that which you have already studied. Because truth of the matter is, there's nothing you can recall if you didn't study anyway. But if you knew for a fact that something happened in your life, that God intervened in your life, this is where anamnesko comes in. You put a conscious effort to bring it to mind. That you're not just simply recalling it, but you focus on it, you fix your eyes on it. The wonderful thing here after the 9 a.m. service, well, we were talking about this. You know, someone came up to me and told me, I like that word, anamnesko, Pastor Archie. Sabi niya, kasi it sounds like namimisko. Tama nga naman. Namimiss niyo ba yung zeal niyo para kay Lord? Nung 16 years ago. Namimiss niyo ba yung time na parang napaka-reckless ng faith mo? Magpipreach ka lang kung sino nasa harapan mo. Because that is what anamnesko means. To consciously put it into mind. What is it that they have to recall? What is it that they have to anamnesko? The former days. They have to anamnesko the former days. So here's the next question. What is referred to as the former days? What is referred to as the former days? This is what we found out when we were studying this. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 32 says, you have to anamnesko the former days when after you were enlightened. If you check the NLT version of this ESV, here's what it says. You have to think back on those days when you first learned about Christ. So what the author is basically telling us, the remedy for backsliding is to remember the joy of your salvation. Is to remember the joy of your salvation. What is referred to as the former days, it is the day when you were redirected from the life of sin. Ngayon kasi, alam naman, you are already a Christian. You know all of these things already. You folks realize that what we're doing right now are things that we do not deserve. Is it still fresh in our memory? That it's only by the sheer grace and mercy of God as to why we are here. What is referred to as the former days, the days when you were redirected from the life of sin. Let me just share with you a few stories for a while. You know, Jairo was preaching a while ago. Well, this is just stories that involves me because we were talking about this. You know, Jairo is our new kids coordinator. And a while ago, he was sharing that yung anamnesko niya, the former days, he said that on his first youth service, back at that old tavern right there, sino pong naabutan yung tavern na building na yan? Pakitaas mo na kamay, patingin nga. Yung mga naabutan yung tavern, taas yung kamay nyo. Ayan po, may expectation po ako sa inyo. Alam nyo po bakit? Kasi sabi doon kanina, you ought to be teachers by now. Well, I'm not saying that you've backslidden. But you didn't say, the first youth service that he attended at the tavern, sa niya, Kuya Archie, you remember, you brought me home. Of course, hindi ko pa matandaan yun. Paano ba naman ang dami mga estudyante nakasakay sa multicab? I remember the times where, as a new believer, as new believers, when we would pray together, together with different Christian organizations, we would pray for a revival in the campus. We would sit on tall grasses in the campus. I tell you what, after po yun, feeling namin natulungan namin yung gardener. Kasi pag alis namin, wala na pong damo. Kasi lahat po nang gigigil sa kape-pre na hulbot na yung mga damo sa paligid nila. Parang, Lord, we pray for revival in this campus. Tapos wala na. Malinis na po lahat. Blessing kami sa campus. May panahon po na wala pang Spotify. Na only worship song mo. Hindi nga lang CD. I remember I have this small radio na kailangan mo munang hawakan para magka-signal. Eh syempre, bagong Kristiyano ako, gusto ko ng worship song. Kaya lang, yung worship song, hindi prime time, alas 5 ng umaga. So kahit pagod sa fellowship, kahit half asleep, nakataas yung kamay para lang marinig ng worship song. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, marinig lang yung pangalan ni Don Moen, gusto nang umiyak. Yung mga teary-eyed dyan, alam nyo na yan. Remember the former days wherein you would preach the gospel to anyone, you would wait for your classmates at the dismissal, and you would tell them, hey, let's go to the youth service. That you don't care if people call you a pastor, pastor. You love it when people do that to you. When my disciple asked me to do one-to-one with me, I told him, pwede ba tayo mag one-to-one dun sa sulok? Sabi niya, hindi, dun tayo sa labas para makita ng buong mundo na Kristiyano ka na. And you would tell everyone about your faith. That is what anamnesko, the former days, simply means. Look at this picture right here. I never thought I have that. You know, alam ko po, you know, it's easier to document things now. You know, we have very few photos of the past. If I'm not mistaken, you know, Alzin was, what? Si Alzin lang hindi nagbago. Alzin was, she was a freshman there. That's one of our former campus missionaries. Greatest singer this church has ever had. Hindi totoo yun. Okay. And of course, I never thought that we'll have that. These were the times when they were still students. Friends, sandamukal na corrections ang na-receive na mga yan. I'm glad that, you know, there are campus missionaries now. Do you remember the time when you would worship God with your guitar? Remember the time wherein you stood by your conviction as a Christian? That is what anamnesko, the former days, simply means. But if you look at this story right here, what was their former days like? What was their former days like? Look at this one. This is fascinating because it says in verse 32, recall the former days when after you were enlightened. After you were enlightened simply means after they surrendered their life to the Lord. So that's moving from pre-Christianity to being a Christian. Now here's the amazing thing. Look at this one. Look at this. The moment they became a Christian, the moment they were enlightened, look at this one. They endured a hard struggle with suffering. Isn't that crazy? Because when they came to Christ, they suffered. What the author of Hebrews was telling them, remember your suffering from the past. Those are your battle scars that reminds you how faithful God is in your life. Remember the good times of fellowship. Remember the good times of setting up chairs together. Remember the times of cleaning the restroom, helping the pastor doing the acetate. Remember the former days. In fact, it says here, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. It's just crazy to think that in the past, it's already given that if you are a Christian, you've already subscribed yourself to more than years of suffering. But in our generation right now, what do we do? I want you to understand this. Not everything in church is Instagrammable. Not everything that will happen in your life is for social media. It's not for the applause of men. It's only for the audience of one. Leonard Ravenhill says the early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecution. Today, the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. In fact, may I submit this to you? Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, says, in this world, you will have what? You will have trouble. So perhaps your trouble right now is a validation of your Christianity. Perhaps your trials right now validates that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us neck deep in our pain? Because he always comes to the rescue, amen. Because that's not the end of that verse right there. Because the complete rendition of that verse says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He wants us to take heart because he has overcome the world. That's why, you know, James has the audacity to say, you have to count it all joy, my brothers, if you meet trials of various kinds. Why? Because you partake in the suffering of the master that you worship. At the end of the day, we ought to wear our suffering as a badge of Christianity. But you don't have to despise it. Another evidence of this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. Look at this one. It says here, when Paul was forced to prove his apostolic credentials, he provided them a list of what? Not a list of his accomplishments. What are you talking about? You don't think that I am an apostle? You doubt my credentials? Do you know that I've preached to thousands of people? Do you know that I was the one who baptized this person? He didn't say any of those things. He said, I was shipwrecked. I was in danger in the country and out of the country. I almost died and all of these things. He didn't start talking about his accomplishment. He started talking about his sufferings. That basically prove his credentials for that matter. George Miller says, I say and I say deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. I am not saying, friends, 5 p.m. service, I am not saying I am happy if you are currently suffering. But I will rejoice with you if you persevere and endure. Colossians 1:11, endure with joy despite the trials that you're experiencing right now. While we were studying this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, we realized that there is a problem here when we start talking about a postmodern Christianity, which is our generation right now. You know why? Because it will be difficult for the Christian man whose former days was ushered through the prosperity gospel. If you came to the faith by just believing that the moment I become a Christian, health, wealth, and prosperity is mine. That is not the entirety of the gospel. Because the gospel tells us that we will have to carry our own cross. So if all you have embraced about Christianity is health, wealth, and prosperity, when tough time comes, you let go of it. Because you feel like this is not what I signed up for. This is not how I understand all of these things. If you remember the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, verse 21 tells us, as for what was sown on rocky ground, it says here, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Who am you? Was joyful when you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on now. You were joyful. Remember the time when you walked in an altar call, you were from the back, you moved here because you really want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ those times in your life. Well, I'm not saying that yours was a rocky ground, but look at this one. It says here, yet he has no root in himself. Look at this one. No root in himself. This is the importance of solid biblical foundations. That you understand what Christianity is all about. That you understand Christianity involves what? Laying down your Isaacs, making sacrifices, receiving suffering for that matter. It says here, endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So the news that we have now is, friends, suffering will come. Tell your seatmate farewell. I promise you, there will be suffering. Parang ang lungkot ng message na to. Kala ko great faith. Kala ko ba great faith? We will know later. Let's talk about suffering for a while. Archie, it's the start of the year. First sermon perhaps that I've heard from you. Di ba, Archie, pre-niche mo to nung New Year, hindi naman ganyan yung tono? Kung andito kayo nung New Year service. Why are we talking about suffering? And why? Because great faith is forged through great trials. Impossible po magkaroon ng great faith if it will not have to go through great trials. Let me quickly talk about suffering, then we're going to end. First is, I have to clarify some things lest you leave this place thinking, na Lord, give me all the suffering in the world. Give me all the suffering. First, I am not saying that all suffering is good. In the same way, I'm not saying that all suffering is bad. I want you to know that there are suffering that you have to resist as a Christian. Demonic oppression is one. Another thing that you can resist through God's word and, guess what? Obedience is a suffering that's brought about by perhaps a consequence of our disobedience. You know for a fact, even if no one actually tells you, if you consider yourself a Christian, the Holy Spirit will tell you that this relationship should stop because you folks are sinning. I'm not saying all people who are in a relationship are sinning. But if you keep doing it, person becomes pregnant, then you are in deep trouble and you're suffering, telling God, Lord, why have you given me this kind of suffering? Sorry to say, friends, that you've brought it upon yourself. God is not deaf from your cries if you repent. Those are the sufferings that you have to resist. But there are also sufferings that are according to God's will. And a lot of times, the sufferings that are according to God's will are what? Are suffering for the sake of righteousness. Persecution is one. Doing the will of God as you suffer is actually one. What do you do when you suffer? I like this. Look at this one. Again, this is throwback. The Hebrew writer was telling them, remember those times. What did they do when they suffer? Look at this one. It says here, in the NLT version of verse 32, it says here, sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and you were beaten. And sometimes, look at this one, you help others who were suffering the same things. Crazy! You know why? Because they were already suffering, yet they were still helping some people. So meaning to say, as they were suffering, they're not like us right now. Nag-suffer lang, tweet agad, I am the loneliest person in the whole wide world. I feel like the world is against me because I'm experiencing this one. I lost my wallet yesterday. I failed in math. No one cares for me. What happened there? Self-pity happened. Self-pity causes us to sulk and obsess over our hurts, real or perceived. You know what's wrong with self-pity? What's wrong with self-pity is this word right here. Anything that is centered to yourself will not do you any good. For the Hebrew believers, when they were suffering, you know what they were doing? They were serving. You're suffering. Parang walang bayad ng suffering. It's like after those times, they were like, nag-suffer ka pala. So you mean to say, during those times that you were serving me, you were going through the same thing? It wasn't obvious. It's like someone lost his or her mom, his or her dad, and yet there's still a genuine smile in the person's face. Still serving, still worshiping God, still praising God. As the great philosopher said, your misery can actually be your ministry. In what sense? Kasi po yung trials nyo ngayon, preaching nyo po yan. The way you go through it right now is actually your preaching. I like what Mav said in the last ever prayer meeting. He says that your testing could be your testimony. That your mess could be your message. It's not like you're suffering that, oh, I'm such a loser. You're so focused on yourself. that all the more you're spiraling down into hatred towards God. You feel like the church doesn't care for me anymore. Actually, mag-text ka lang naman eh. Here's another thing. Look at this one. I love these people. You want to have this kind of great faith like that they have before? Look at this, what it says here. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. How do you know that you're blessed? Come on now. Look at this one. In our generation right now, I'm not saying this is bad, but this is actually good. Sometimes we think things this way. Man, I am so blessed today because I was given a brand new Jordan 11. You know what? I am such a blessed person because I was able to have my quota, my promotion. All of these things are blessings. Look at this one. How come these people consider themselves blessed when they were plundered of so many things? You know why? Because their only blessing, as they understand, is the joy of their salvation. Looks to me that being plundered of their property, has it ever crossed your mind? Kinuha yung favorite mo. Just imagine this with me. Yung favorite mong tanday. 3 years old ka pa. Alam mo yung tanday mo na yan. Yung parang di mo na maintindihan yung itsura yung amoy. Kinasal ka na, 5 na anak mo, dala-dala mo pa rin yung tanday na yan. Ninakaw, kinuha sa'yo, plinander sa'yo yan. Yung kotse mo, kinuha. Yung cellphone mo. Ayun, masakit yun sa atin ngayon. Lahat, tabo. Langgana, yung basic necessities in life. Can you imagine yourself still joyful? Paano po? How can we consider ourselves blessed if we lose all of these things? The answer is here. Because they know that they had a better possession. And in fact, this possession is an abiding one. Hebrews 13:14, the reason they were able to go through what they went through was this one. For we have no lasting city. They were like saying, this is temporary. This pain is temporary. That's why we seek the city that is to come. We seek to the reward that God is going to bring in our lives. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 is no ordinary text. It says here, therefore, in line with all of those things, do not throw away your confidence. NLT says, do not throw this confident trust in the Lord. Hindi kasi nagsasuffer ka, hindi ka mahal ni Lord. In fact, baka nagsasuffer ka dahil sobrang mahal ka ni Lord. Kasi sa suffering mo, mag-glorify yung pangalan niya. It says here, do not throw this confident trust in the Lord. What does it mean? A few more things and we're gonna end. Like what I said a while ago, something was happening. They were backsliding. So, losing your confident trust in the Lord could be a picture that you have already backslidden. Backslidden simply means you backslid from the faith. So it could be something like this. A person could be backslidden at wala na sa simbahan. Ako po, syempre, pastor, nararanasan ko yan. Pagka nasa grocery ako, nakita ko, sige, taga-church. Tapos biglang nawala, aparisyon. Aisle 18. Sige, bro, wala. So sinilip ko, bilis, nasa aisle 12 na. Hindi ko naman ginudge. Akala lang nila kasi yung kilay ko. The common thing that we experience for someone who has backslidden is, they have backslidden, and they are no longer in the church community. They're no longer physically present in the church community. But it is also possible that you are backslidden, but you're in church. Meaning to say, you've already backslidden, but you're still attending church. You're still in the Victory group. You're still there. You know what's worse than this? Could be that backslidden ka at leader ka sa simbahan. Ikaw yung pinaka-fruitful na volunteer. Lahat ng ministry sinalihan mo. Alas 7 pa lang ng umaga, nasa Victory ka na. Pero posible po na backslidden ka. So before we heap judgment on people, who was backslidden and are not in the church anymore, it is actually good for us to assess our own standing before God. How can we substantiate these things? We can substantiate these two things right here by this one right here. Judas was with Jesus, but he was already backslidden. My point here, friends, is backslidden is the state of our heart, the state of our spirit, that we can be here, but your heart is far from God, that you can be here, but your ears are dull to the preaching of the word, your ears are dull to God's word, that you don't have enthusiasm and delight for God's word anymore, that you've already given up on meeting altogether. In that case, friend, let me tell you with love, anamnesko the former days. Remember how God has been faithful to you. Remember the joy of your salvation. Go back to those old photos. Go back to those old journals of yours. And remember how God has been so faithful to you. It says here, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. If you are the thick of a trial today, let me end with this one. If you are the thick of a trial today, I'm not asking you to lift your hands. I don't know what trial or suffering that may be. Allow me to share with you, not my own opinion. Not my own opinion. But what the Word of God says clearly about those people who suffer for righteousness' sake. Look at this one, friends. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's like you're swimming and it's all so foggy, but you keep swimming and swimming. It's like you keep serving and serving. You keep worshiping and worshiping. You know why? Because you know how this story will end. You know that there's a reward waiting for you. You know that when you reach the end, God will tell you something. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. Wear it as a badge. How do we apply this in our life? Recollect the former days. What is fascinating here is the fact that it starts telling us to recall, that it starts telling us to look to the future city, to the future reward. What does it mean? In order for us to move forward, we need to look back to God's faithfulness, to God's benevolence, to God's early manifestations of grace in your life. God brings you back to what? To your victory weekend, to your baptism, to your first one-to-one, to the time when someone led you to the Lord. Your zeal, your passion, that was immovable. Like what I said, you know, this life is not all glamour. It's not all perks. It's even not about that. But at the end of the day, we understand how these things will end, amen? That there will come a time wherein you will not have the ability to cry anymore. And God Himself said that He will wipe the very tears in our eyes. May I appeal to you, if you're at the thick of a suffering right now, endure with joy. Persevere. That brings about a great faith in our life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.